All right, well, welcome everyone. Today we are going to continue our study of the book of Daniel. And in Daniel, we're actually focusing on chapter number 10 now. So we're almost complete with the book. This has been, for me, a wonderful study, just as far as being behind the pulpit, teaching it, preaching, and so on. And one of the things I've learned in my whole career in business, when I teach something or if I do any coaching, I actually grow more in doing that. And I grow in understanding. It gets me more in the Word and so on, as well as if I'm doing something with business. And the reason I'm sharing that with you is I encourage you, grandparents, teach your grandchildren. Parents, teach your children. Children, kids, teens, young adults, teach your friends. Get the information out there, because when you're teaching, you're growing. I mean, you really are growing. And if somebody asks you a question, like Brother Dwayne, he taught, what a great Bible study this morning. Absolutely fabulous. There was a question asked in their meeting that they had. And the question that was asked created an opportunity to do some more studying. And so when questions come up, don't be afraid of questions. Don't be afraid, oh, what if I don't know how to answer it? If you're talking to somebody, you're giving them the gospel, and you muck it all up, you know what? It's not you. It's Christ in you giving that gospel message out. And even though you think you didn't do it perfectly, God's doing that work through you. And I just want to encourage you to pass out the tracts. Help grow the ministry of God's grace, because he's given us another day of grace, and I praise the Lord for that. Let's focus now on the book of Daniel here. Now, Daniel chapter 10 is where we are now. Daniel chapter 10 is actually going to be the beginning of the last vision that Daniel sees. And chapters 10, 11, and 12 are all focused on this event that's taking place. And what we're going to do is we're going to see the beginnings of that right now, and we're going to complete, the whole of chapter 10 today. You'll notice in chapter 10, verse 1, Daniel 10, 1, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. This is important. Daniel understood the thing. He had understanding of this vision that was given him. Now, if we take a look, there's a verse here in Daniel chapter 12, verse number 4. In Daniel 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Daniel was to shut up the books and seal the book. Now, go back to Daniel chapter 10. Why am I sharing that with you? What we're going to see here in Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12, we're going to see some things that it's not fully understood and appreciated what's being said. Because these books, we're getting closer to this end time. We're getting closer to this period, this wrath period. And for the body of Christ, it's been extended another 2,000 more years. But we're getting closer to this wrath period. It's imminent. It's going to happen. This information that's written in the book of Daniel, do you know who it's for? It's for the group of people that are going to be going through this period of time. The body of Christ isn't going through this. We're getting, as we get closer to that time, there's more light and understanding of prophesied events. What Daniel's doing is he is here prophesying a future event. And we talked about Daniel actually saw the cross and this wrath period all within one verse. Let me see here. Take a look over at Daniel chapter 9. Verse number 26 in Daniel 9, 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. Here's the cross right there. That's the Lord Jesus Christ dying at Calvary. But not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolation is determined. Look at, he went from the cross to the wrath period. All within one verse. Now, if you don't get that, and you get all, no, if you're confused and you're trying to even throw the body of Christ in with this wrath period, you're making a mess and a mockery of God's word. That's why Paul tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. I love what Dwayne, I mean, you got to get the CD. Listen to the message of what Dwayne talked about this morning. It was good. It was good because what happens, a lot of people, what they're doing is they're trying to take, and I grew up in a religious system, they're trying to take the law and apply it to the dispensation of grace. It doesn't work that way. Paul says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What you're doing is you're taking Paul's gospel. Now you can go back and understand what God's doing. But don't try to take the law, Israel's program, and put it into the dispensation of grace. That's what religion does. Okay? So what you're doing, what by understanding this truth, I am telling you, you know, it's for those of you that are just listening to this now on audio, we've got a chart. This chart shows a parallel track of the Gentiles down on the bottom, and then you've got God dealing with the nation Israel up on top. In Romans chapter number 11:11, the nation Israel falls to the Gentile status. God's looking at everybody today in the dispensation of grace. He's not saving nations. What God is doing is saving individual people. Love him. God's not saving robots. God's saving individual people that have a conscience, that choose to trust in the shed blood, the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord and Savior. God's saving those individual people today. I know Jews today that are saved, Muslims that are saved, Buddhists that are saved, regular Gentiles just like you and I. You know what I learned? God doesn't save perfect people. Praise the Lord for that. God saves sinners, which we're all a part of. And we may never be sinless walking on this earth in our flesh. However, for those of you that are in the book and you're reading and studying God's word, you will sin less. And you're going to learn what God's doing. And I really think, and I'm going to be talking about this over at the conference, about our walk and who we are, that new creature in Christ. When people rebel against God, and I'm going to just say this, and it's not to offend you, it's to wake you up if you're stuck. If you're not in the book and reading God's word, you are rebellious to God. I said it. Don't be offended by it. But if you're not in the word, read. God says give attendance to reading. God says to study that book. Who is he saying it to? He's saying it to members of the body of Christ. He's not saying it to you pastors only. He's saying it to everyone. Look, study, get in the word. I don't care if you're 6 years old or 60 years old or 90. Get in the book. Get in the book, and you're going to grow. You're going to grow. So that's my encouragement. It's I know it might sound a little harsh, and don't take it where you're offended by it. It's not a personal attack. But I could tell you, me personally, I've gone through periods where I've not read the book. I just shunned it, put it aside. I was being rebellious. My old Adamic nature was resurrecting itself. Has anybody ever had that happen to you, or am I the only one? So just be aware of that. Be aware of that. Now let's take a look here with regards to Daniel. Again, what I said in the beginning is Daniel, we're going to learn about this image, this vision that he's seeing. This is just the preparation of it right now in Daniel chapter 10. We're going to go in much more depth in chapter 11 and 12. And I got to tell you, some of the things in chapter 11, I don't get. I don't understand it. I don't get it. You know why we don't get it just fully yet? Because it's really for the people, the nation Israel, that are going to be going through this stuff. They're going to get it. But what we know, we can make light. No, the things that are made light to us, praise the Lord for it. And this study is helping you. Think of all of you that have grown and known God's Word rightly divided. Going through this study, it's pretty deep. You know, we're learning about what Israel's doing, what they're going through. And it's kind of cool because when you really understand this, you can really see the difference. And what I was mentioning earlier about this chart, for those that might be listening, for the mystery program, this is like a bright yellow. It's almost like the flashlight is on. The brightness and the glory of God right now in this dispensation of grace. See, the nation Israel is waiting for their kingdom. The nation Israel is waiting for their hearts, those stony hearts, to have that heart of God indwelling them, having that word of God indwelling them. You know what? What Israel's waiting for, do you know, in the dispensation of grace, the saints, the beloved here in the body of Christ, we already have everything except one, which is our new glorified body, which someday we will absolutely, that's our blessed hope. Our blessed hope is getting this new body, because the one we're in now is breaking down. As you get older, you're going to notice that bones break and you start aching and hurting and eyesight disappears, and then you're going to have to start wearing glasses sometimes. And, you know, it just, hey, we live in a sin-cursed world. You know, enjoy what you have now, because when you look in the mirror 10, 15, 20, 30 years from now, I guess, well, where did the time go? And that's what I look at sometimes, like, where did that time go? But praise the Lord, we're all still here. All right, let's continue on. Verse 2, Daniel 10:2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. 3 full weeks, 21 days, he was mourning. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. Basically, Daniel was fasting for 3 weeks. Now, I want to point something out here. You know, take a look up at Daniel 10:1. In the third year of Cyrus, look over at Daniel 9, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, when Daniel saw that vision in 9, or in Daniel chapter 9, with the 70th week of Daniel and so on, this was in the first year of Darius. In the third year of Cyrus, Daniel is anywhere right now, what we're in right now, Daniel's anywhere from 80 to 90 years of age right now in Daniel chapter number 10. Because the 70 years of captivity with the nation Israel, that Daniel went through all that. This here is the end right now with Cyrus, the third year of Cyrus. Daniel, when he was a boy, he could have been anywhere from 10 to 17 years old. So if he was 10 years old, add on the 3 years here with Cyrus, because you know, the captivity has ended. Actually, that nation Israel, Cyrus was, he sent the nation Israel back, go back to Jerusalem. And only a small percentage, like 40,000, went back. So it's very fascinating. Daniel was between 80 and 90 years of age. And here's a guy praying to God for 3 weeks fasting. So you know what? All of you that are retired, think about that with your retirement. You got more time to be out there preaching. Raj went to Nokomis to go to see Brother Les Feldick. That church, that Grace Church in Nokomis, I heard Brother Ricky Jordan mentioning that there was a guy that started that church in Nokomis, and he preached for 65 years he's been preaching. Now, most people, they're retiring at age 65. This guy was preaching for 65 years. What a testimony that is. Paul, in his 80s or almost 90 years of age, what's this guy doing? He's out there still serving the Lord. So when retirement age comes, take advantage of that time, because Satan wants nothing more than to use up all of your time doing all kinds of other busy stuff than doing his work, the work that God's will is. And think about that. Think about sports and all kinds of things and activities and computer and internet and, you know, computer games or whatever, your favorite TV shows, all of this stuff that takes time out of your life, that is sucking away time from knowing who you are in that Word of God. So carve out a piece for you and God. I got to tell you, the people that wear out their Bibles, and you know, you've seen mine falling apart. I got notes all over it. I've worn out multiple Bibles. You know what that tells me? The individual that's wearing out the Bibles, do you know what they're knowing, they're learning who their Savior is. Wear out a Bible or two. Go through and those, you know, somebody asked me, like, Ron, why are all your pages like so dark and grim and looking and so on? You know why? I'm in there reading. 30 what? 30 hands? 30 fingers. No, actually, I'm in this book. I am in it. And I'm not a mechanic, but I tell you what, it's kind of beat up. It's beat up, but I got to tell you, go through, burn out a couple Bibles. You're getting in there. You're getting in that book. I know some of you right now, based on the encouragement of some conversations we've had in the past, you're actually going through and reading the whole Bible. I praise the Lord for that. I'm doing the same thing again. I'm on 1 Chronicles right now. So I'm just going through. My goal this year is to go through the Bible twice, the whole Bible, to go through it twice. So think about that. I mean, just think about, you know what you're going to do? You're going to start understanding this book even more. You're going to get, it's like all of a sudden you're connecting more, you know, spiritual with spiritual, scripture with scripture, verse by verse, line by line, precept upon precept. You're getting it. All right, let's continue on here. Daniel chapter 10. In verse 3, Daniel ate no pleasant bread. He basically was fasting. And in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, which is the Tigris River. So, you know what's interesting here? Daniel, some people that say, oh, I don't believe in the Bible. It's just a bunch of stories and made up things. Daniel's giving specific dates. What was the date he just gave? The 20th day and 4, so 4 and 20 days. What day is that? The 24th of what month? The first month. My guess, the month of Abib, the first month. Here you've got in April of the 24th, Daniel, he's giving an account of what he's seeing. So in the 4 and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was like the barrel of and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Do you know who Daniel saw right there? The Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming. You take a look over in Revelation. Matter of fact, let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1. In Revelation chapter number 1, you're going to see this same image here. Let's go in verse 11. Saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, in Revelation 1:11. And what thou seest, write in a book, and he's mentioning this to John. And unto the seven churches which are in Asia, and Ephesus, and unto Samaria, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto the Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake to me. This is John now with that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He spake unto me, and he turned, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and by the way, those seven candlesticks are a type of the Holy Spirit of God. And those seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of who? Man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps and a golden girdle. And his head was his hair, and his hair were white like wool and white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto the fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Do you get the picture there? What they're doing, John is actually giving an account of what he's seeing with the Lord Jesus Christ, so is Daniel pointing to and looking at this with the Lord Jesus Christ right there. Wow. Now we can learn something. Revelation helps us with Daniel. Go back here to Daniel chapter number 10. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Okay, let's think about that for a second. I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. Can anybody give an account of when something else like that happened? Who said Paul? There you go. Exactly right. Saul of Tarsus. Let's take a look. Hold your hand here. Go to Acts chapter number 9. Acts chapter number 9. We learn about Brother Saul. He in verse 9:3, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, Paul, said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said unto him, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, you know what Paul did? At the sight of God Almighty, he trembled. His body trembled. And astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him, with Paul, stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Interesting. Go back over to Daniel, Daniel chapter number 10. So Daniel saw this vision. The men that were with him, Daniel therefore was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in him. For by comeliness was turned into corruption. His whole being of who he was turned to corruption by seeing God Almighty. Because you know what I picture? Adam and Eve, when they sinned and they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, do you know what they did? They hid away from God because that Lord Jesus Christ, his righteousness, Adam and Eve, they recognized their evilness, their sin. And I think that's exactly what's happening here with Daniel. It's that sin of, and you know what? And we talked about that. Daniel, he's one of the most righteous guys you read about in the Bible. And there was one point where he was praying for the nation Israel, but he was also praying for himself. He was giving confession in Daniel chapter 9, verse number 20. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for that holy mountain of my God. See, Daniel, as righteous as he was still a sinful man. But you know what he did? He believed. That's what faith is. We learn about faith with Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Faith is believing God. Go back to Daniel chapter number 9. Yeah, okay, and let's go to the second part of verse 8. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. He lost his strength. Yet heard I the voice of the word, and when I heard the voice of his word, then was I in a deep sleep on my face and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So he's on his knees and on the palms of his hands. What was he doing? He was in that bowing state or on his hands and knees. And he said to me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he spoke these words unto me, I stood trembling. Now, you might think, if you're not, you got to look at this, you might think that was the Lord Jesus Christ touching him. It wasn't. Let's take a look at this again. In Daniel, verse number 11, and he, chapter 10, verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly what? Beloved. Who else talked about Daniel that way? Let's go look at Daniel chapter 9, verse number 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, this is Daniel now speaking in prayer, even the man who? Gabriel. Who's Gabriel? He's an angel. Michael, the archangel. You got Michael, the status. Next, Gabriel. Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And take a look at verse number 22 and 23. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Verse 23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art what? Greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Go back to verse or chapter 10, verse 11. You get the idea here that this is Gabriel, and he says basically the same thing. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly what? Beloved. Next week, one of the songs I asked Pat to put down for our song is that song, In the Beloved. Do you know who we are? We're the beloved in Christ. We are one with Christ. What an awesome position we have today in the dispensation of grace. Not recognizing that, what a failure that is for the body of Christ in Christendom, because the majority of Christendom today has no clue about God's word rightly divided. My guess, if I were to put a number on it, I'd say 90% or more of so-called Christendom today have no clue of God's word rightly divided. That's a sad state of affairs. I watched Christian television this past week. What a sad state of affairs. When you watch that stuff on there, you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Who's the guy? Jimmy Baker. It was Jimmy and Tammy Baker, right? And then, okay, that used to, okay. Jimmy Baker was on, and I just watched it for like 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes, and I had to turn channel. But he's like, oh, I've got this great gift I'm going to give all of you. And it's an idol statue. And I'm thinking, you know how many people are going to be praying to the statue? Are you kidding me? You're giving that as a gift? And it made my heart ache. It made my heart ache of just the terrible things that are on television right now in the name of Christendom. Honor and cherish what we have today in the dispensation of grace. Cherish it. Know who you are in the dispensation of grace today. Live it. If you don't know who you are, do you know where the answer is? Romans through Philemon. Read it. That's what transforms you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because I will tell you, Barb was watching a program last night with people that are hoarders. Their house is full of stuff. It's a disease. You know, one of the main primary pieces of furniture that every one of those hoarders had, they all had televisions. They're sitting in their homes, stuck watching that boob tube that's taking hours and hours and hours and hours out of their life. Think about that. And think about your situation and what amount of time is put here opposed to that boob tube. Just a thought. Just a thought. Daniel chapter number 10 in verse 11. Daniel, greatly beloved. We're getting the idea. Gabriel is speaking to him. Then said he unto me, then said Gabriel unto Daniel, fear not, Daniel. For from thy first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, the angel Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Interesting. Gabriel, by the way, you all know what the universe looks like, right? It's basically, it looks like a house. And we know in 2 Corinthians chapter number 13, I believe it is. Is it 12 or 13? I better check now. Paul talks about the third heaven. Are you familiar with that? It's in chapter 12, verse number 2. Actually, verse 1. In 2 Corinthians 12:1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations. John only received a revelation for the book of Revelation. Paul received revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows, such a one caught up to the what? Third heaven. Paul got caught up to this third heaven here. The third heaven. Here we've got the earth. And with the earth, we've also got the stars, the universe, the galaxies, the Milky Way, and all of that stuff. We've got the atmosphere. That's number one. We've got the universe. That's the second heaven. The third heaven is where God is. The third heaven is where I believe Abraham's bosom, when Christ rose again that third day, I believe he also took Abraham's bosom up to that third heaven. I also believe that there's a verse that Paul talks about, to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Where's that? Is that going to be dead in the ground? No. Where is that? Your spirit, your soul goes to be with God instantly. We're waiting for our blessed hope. That blessed hope is what for the body of Christ? That rapture period. I know it's not rapture in the Bible, but it's being caught up. It's like a rapture, so it's easy to understand. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. And most, you watch Christian TV, listen to Christian radio, they muck that up because they're going to say this rapture here in 1 Thessalonians 4 is the same as the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not. That's why it's so important to understand God's word rightly divided. Critically important. Here's what's happening. Gabriel's coming down. There is a part in the universe that is similar to what we have here on earth. You're going to take a look over here in verse number 13, Daniel 10, 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Huh. You've got Gabriel coming down from that realm where God is. He's coming down to earth to deal with and speak to Daniel, to help him with this vision. And here, he gets stuck. There is a part in the universe that Gabriel was compromised. He couldn't go any further. Do you know how long he was there? 21 days. How long was Daniel praying for? 3 weeks. How long is that? 21 days. I wonder if the Lord revealed to Daniel, hey, look, I'm coming. Coming to see you. Going to present another vision. Daniel's praying. And the Lord's not here yet. The vision's not here yet. Daniel continues to keep praying for 3 weeks, 21 days. I think Daniel stopped praying once Gabriel finally had help with Michael to get out of that situation, because that corruptness that we have on earth with governmental positions is the exact same corruptness that is happening in the second heaven right now. All that's going to be cleaned up with a new heaven and a new earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. There's going to be that 1,000-year reign. That's just the beginning. It's not the end. Yes, Satan's going to be loose for a season. Probably billions of people are going to follow him again. But there will be a new heaven and a new earth. There is going to be this the great white throne of judgment for all of lost mankind. They're going to be judged for their sin. For the body of Christ, we're waiting for that judgment seat of Christ. You know what we're waiting for there? Reward. What did you do with the book? Did you get it in there and let it transform you? Or were you so busy with everything else that Satan's enticing you with that you never get in the book? The instruction manual, the more you know of this instruction manual, there will be positions in the heavenly realm that you are going to be a part of in governmental positions of rank and authority. Now, as I mentioned, 90%, probably more, of Christendom today knows nothing about God's word rightly divided. My suspicion is you're going to be seated in some pretty high places representing the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity in the heavenly realm. Will we have access to this earth here? I think so, because the earth is also part of the universe, the heavenly realm, isn't it? The planet, just like a lot of other planets out there. But this is primarily for the nation Israel. The nation Israel is waiting for that kingdom to come here on earth. Absolutely. For me, it's absolutely fascinating. When I started to understand this, now I started to understand that our Father and thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's like, that's Israel. They're waiting for that literal, physical kingdom to come on earth. And I don't have to be some spiritual Israel stuff. I grew up with that nonsense. It's nice to know who you are. It really is nice to know who you are. And you know how you learn? You learn by hearing. You learn by studying. So the information that you're studying here, I recommend when you learn it, go home and read it again yourself and say, you know what? Where are those verses again? Oh, yeah, I remember Daniel in Daniel chapter number 10. I ought to go to Revelation chapter number 1. There's something there that matches what Daniel saw with that image and what John saw with that image. And when you start connecting those dots, you know who owns it? You own it. Do you know why? It's being transformed in your mind. It transforms you. It changes you. You're no longer that old sin-cursed nature, that bitterness, anger, and wrath that you had pop up every once in a while. Even the sweetest grandma can be like that. But when you get that word in you, it transforms you. It actually, you are a new creature in Christ. What God's doing is patiently waiting for you. It's his work in you, helping you grow up to that maturity. Now, some of you might be steeped in some type of sin. Satan has got he's gripped you with this sin. You can be freed from it like that because you are. It's knowing you're freed from that, that you can thank God, thank you, Lord, from relieving me from the shackles of that sin. It can be an instant. And one of the things I'm going to be talking about when we preach on the 31st is that thankfulness and prayer is so important. Most times everybody's praying for problems. How about thanking God for things that we have? Thank you, God, even before you're delivered from whatever that sin is, how about thanking God for delivering us from that sin? That mental shift changes your mind. It changes your thinking. You get that? That mental shift keeps you from repeating that pattern over and over and over, whatever it is. Whether it's bitterness pattern, whether it's a pride pattern, whether it's an alcohol pattern, whatever it is, you can be freed from that. Do you know why? Because God said you are. The Lord Jesus Christ said we are free from that. We're not under that yoke of bondage with the law and everybody trying to put you down. You're free. Aren't you? I'm thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. Where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Praise the Lord for that. Okay. Let's take a look over at Daniel chapter 10 again. In verse 14, now I, Gabriel, came to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he spoke such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground and became as dumb. Let me tell you something. If an angel of God, Gabriel or Michael, come and talk to you, you're not going to be sitting there chit-chatting and say, hey, what's up? All right? That you're going down to the ground. Every verse I see with people that see Gabriel and Michael, ooh, their whole countenance changes. The Lord Jesus Christ coming. What? I mean, the countenance changes. If you were to see the Lord Jesus Christ with his glory, the glory with the fire in his eyes, that judgment, the word coming out of him, that sword, whoo! In our flesh? Are you kidding me? We get that new glorified body so we can enjoy being with the Lord when he comes back to call us. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope that day comes really quick. I'd love for today to be the day. I thank God for another day of grace, but you know, I would love for today to be the day. Lord, come on, take your body. Let's go. I'm looking forward to the next program. I'm excited about that. But you know what? If God tarries for another day, hey, we got work to do. We got work to do. Verse 16. Actually, let's go to 15 again. And when he spoke such words unto me, let me see, am I going? Yeah. And we're going to go to verse 15 again. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face towards the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake, and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Being around that the Almighty of God's angelic realm, there was no strength left in him. Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. He strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And what he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. By the way, Daniel, how many days has he gone without eating? 21 days. And he's got all this happening. Interesting. This guy, that's a heartfelt man right there. That's a man serving God right there. That's a good example for us today, even today in the dispensation of grace, of serving God. Verse 20, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. There is going to be a fight when they go back. There's going to be fighting. Gabriel's going to be fighting. But when, in verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Michael and Gabriel are going to be fighting again. Let me tell you, the prince of Persia in verse 13, that cannot be the prince of Persia here on this earth. There's no way. You know that one angel in one night, what was the number? It was like 185,000. Oh, what was the number? One of God's angels wiped out hundreds of thousands of people in one night. So man cannot be here in verse number 13 with the prince of Persia. That can't be one man withstanding Gabriel for 21 days. No, this was the angelic realm up there. These are the positions of rank and authority that we're going to be taking over. That prince of Persia. Let's go over a couple verses here. John, what time am I in now? Thank you. We're going to go through some verses here real quick. I want you to take a look at this issue with angels. In Daniel chapter number 10, verse number 21, Israel has an angel. But I will show unto thee which is noted in the scriptures of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Michael is the angel for the nation Israel. Daniel 12, 1, and at that time, and you don't have to look at these verses if you want to just write them down. I'm going to go through these real quick. And at that time, Michael shall stand up that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Who is thy people? Israel. So as a nation, Israel has an angelic realm, Michael, that is part of that nation Israel. Man can have an angel. In Acts chapter 12, verse 13, 14, 15, I'm going to read this real quick. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And this is when Peter was locked up. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto him, the 11, they said unto him, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, it is his angel. So apparently men can have angels. Children can have angels. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 10, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always hold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So the nation of Israel's children can have angels. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14. But to which of the angels say he at any time, sit at my right hand until I make thy enemy thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The nation Israel has the guardian angels guarding them. The body of Christ does not. Who do we have? We have God the what? Indwelling us. We have God the Holy Spirit indwelling us. We don't have angels. I was driving on the way here. On the way here, there's some lady in a car. She had some female angel with wings flying all over the place that was on her rearview mirror. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, she has no clue. You know, she's thinking, oh, this is my guardian angel. I've got an aunt like that. Oh, I've got angels all over. I got this guardian angel. Have no clue. Angels are always depicted as men. Angels don't have the wings. The wings are the cherubs that cover over God. How do you know these things? You got to get in the book. I talked to my aunt about that. She got mad at me. I was like, aunt, look at the book. My family, they think I'm nuts reading God's word. Look at the book. Read it. You can learn some things. You can learn what... So, the nation Israel, they had angels that were guarding them, guardian angels. Body of Christ? No, we've got God the Holy Spirit. When we get caught up to be with God. We get that new glorified body. What a glorious thing. Do you know what the nation Israel, when someone died, do you know they had angels? That, like in Luke 16 with the rich man and Lazarus? Lazarus had an angel that guided him to bring him down to Abraham's bosom. Lazarus didn't know how to get there. The angels were there to guide them, to guard them. Today, to be absent from the body, we talked about that, is to be present with the Lord. I want to talk about Satan real quick. with the body of Christ and with the angelic realm that's happening today, angels are watching us. They're learning from us. Satan's angels, they're trying to thwart us and take us down, and they're throwing darts, fiery darts at us. What is the instrument that protects you from the fiery darts? Can anybody tell me what that is? Say it again. The shield of what? You've got that shield of what? Faith. That's protecting you. It's that word of God rightly divided that's protecting you. That shield protects you. It's your faith. Let me ask you something. If you're not in the Word and you kind of doubt what's going on and you're watching all this stuff on TV and there's some kind of crazy things going on there that just it begins to cast doubt on what you understand, you're being influenced in a negative way by the spirit realm. What is Satan? Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Satan actually, he can mimic God, the light and righteousness. You got to really think of what's happening, what's going on. I really believe that television is really corrupting a lot of people, more so than anybody ever imagines. And it's doing it in a very secretive way. And it's controlling us. It's changing your buying habits, commercials. Barb gets mad at me because I don't like watching those commercials, you know. And matter of fact, I'm despising TV more and more every single day, it seems like. I wonder what it would be like if we all went on a TV fast. Like Daniel prayed for 21 days. What if we went on a TV fast for 21 days? What would we do during that period of time? Would we have some time to read a little bit? Yeah, wow. Wow. So anyway, I'm just so thankful that we have an opportunity to study Daniel. And we're going to go through some pretty heavy stuff now the next couple of weeks with Daniel chapter 11 and chapter 12. And with regards to the verse with that angelic realm, there was a fight in heaven or here on earth with one angel, and he was able to wipe out just hundreds of thousands of people. And I'm going to find that verse. I cannot find it for the life of me. I'm trying to remember where it is, but I'll bring that up next week and I'll give you that verse. And I just thank you for being here for these studies. We're almost done with Daniel, and it's very enlightening to know what Israel's going through and to know that we are able to watch it and observe it from a light of grace and not try to keep putting ourselves in all Israel's stuff. So I'm just so thankful for that. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving grace and peace, and Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you that Daniel, with the study here today, that we can see that second coming glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it in Revelation as well. And Father, I look forward to seeing my Savior someday. I'm so thankful that he can be with me every single day in your word, rightly divided. And Father, I thank you for these saints. I thank you that we continue to keep on keeping on, that we fight that good fight. We have kept the faith. And Father, I'm just so thankful for this ministry, and I pray for this ministry to continue and grow. And we grow not just people-wise, but Father, I pray we grow spiritually, rightly divided with your doctrine and having that transform us. We love you in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen.